Today we'll be taking up a new psalm for the month of September. We'll be reading and meditating on Psalm 36. This is Psalm 36. Please listen as I read God's word. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you there is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who love you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. When I read or sing Psalm 36, I find that I most naturally gravitate to the center of this psalm, where it talks about the mercy of God. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like great mountains. That very poetic imagery gives a soaring and lofty praise to God for his mercy. But before you get to that lofty praise, David starts by describing the depths of sin that he sees in the wicked people around him. He says there is no fear before his eyes. In fact, he says that this psalm, this oracle, is about the transgression of the wicked. So for our meditation on this psalm, I want to develop that thought about what it is that David is vexed at as he thinks about the wickedness in the world and the solution to that that is proposed. I'll just take 2 points here. I'm going to think about the depravity of mankind and the deliverance that God gives. First of all, the depravity. David identifies the fundamental character of mankind as he speaks about us. These opening verses, verses 1-4, he talks about what we call depravity. That we are sinners against a holy God. In his letter to the Romans in the New Testament, Paul actually quotes this first verse. And in that context, he is proving a point. He says, there is none who is righteous. No, not one. Not Jew or Gentile, those who have the word of God, who don't have the word of God. Everyone is wicked in God's eyes. Everyone who stands before a holy God comes before him and is condemned because of our natural condition of wickedness. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No, not one, says Paul, again quoting from the Old Testament. That's a sobering assessment of the wickedness of mankind, but a very important one to make, because what David and what Paul and what really all of Scripture is arguing is that you and I and all of mankind are not morally neutral. You don't come into this world a blank slate, waiting to be tipped one way or to the other. Just by who you are as a son of Adam and daughter of Eve, you are wicked. Is that jarring? Well, in a sense, I hope so that you don't think too highly of yourselves and think that you don't need anything. But if it's jarring, it's something that will sober you to understand that these things that he goes on to describe are things that you can also find in your own life. When you find out iniquity, when you find out things that are wrong in your life, is it the case that you flatter yourself in your own eyes, explaining away those missteps, or you might call them something even softer than that? Are your words full of grace, or have you found wicked words and deceit that have been part of you? Have you ceased to be wise? Have you devised wickedness? Have you set out to do what is not good? In all honesty, that does describe all of us. And David grieves over this. He sorrows over the wickedness of mankind. David, as a prophet, can look at the wickedness of the world around and say, oh God, this is not right. And at the end of the psalm, he prays that the wicked would come to nothing, that they would be cast down, never to rise again, which speaks of that judgment of the Lord against all of wickedness. The depravity of mankind touches all of us, which brings up the pressing question of deliverance. If depravity is true, then what about me? I too was born in sin. I too have failed to honor God. I too have sinned against him. Is there any hope for me? And in answering that question, David launches into this incredibly lofty praise that I've described. Your mercy, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. He is using this highly poetic language so that you could appreciate just how great God's mercy is to you as a sinner and the deliverance that he provides through Jesus Christ. So I tried to figure out what would be a good comparison, and so I decided to look what the national debt was. It's a staggering amount of money. $22 billion. You can look it up on the internet, and they have a clock that is running as the debt continues to rise, and it's spinning really, really fast. And they say this is what the U.S. says our debt is. The independent watchdogs say that it's $118 trillion. Well, I can't even begin to realize what $1 trillion is, let alone 22 or 118 in that spinning counter. But as great as that debt is, a sinner's debt to a holy God is a drop in the bucket. It is a grain of sand. It isn't even measurable compared to your debt to a holy God. And yet he has forgiven you. He has shown you mercy. He has paid your debt completely. There is no spinning count on your account. There is nothing on the internet that's marking your sins in God's account. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that the Lord may show you mercy and grace. That's why we have such lofty praise of God here. How precious is your loving kindness? How great is your mercy? It goes to the sky and beyond. So what is our response to this mercy of God? What is our response to the fact that we've received mercy in Christ? Well, let's praise God. Let's give the Lord this lofty praise that he deserves. And as verse 7 says, you may put your hope and trust in him. It may be that you never have done that. You're conscious of that spinning counter of your debts before the Lord. Today, I hope in Psalm 36, you would recognize the mercy of God that is offered you in Jesus Christ, and that you would put your trust in Him. As verse 7 says, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. There again, a poetic picture of a mother hen that gathers the chicks underneath her arms, underneath her wings, to protect them from a predator. That's what you can do in Jesus Christ. You can find protection and deliverance from a merciful God. Well, let's sing Psalm 36. Let's offer to the Lord this lofty praise. Psalm 36, selection A. We'll actually be singing all the way through the psalm. I mistakenly said we would sing C later. It actually repeats, so we'll wait till this afternoon to sing the selection C. But for today, we'll sing stanza A and then B later. So please stand to sing Psalm 36A.